Tuesday, August 29th, 2006, Upon Further Review, episode number 12. A dozen episodes. You know, we taste just like a dozen donuts, but we're way less fattening. Welcome to Upon Further Review. I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And we want to say hello, felicitations. No, actually, salutations, not felicitations. Although, felicitations if anything good happened to you this past week. But salutations to open up the beginning of the show.
I think of felicitations, I think of that Star Trek episode that you just had me watch.
Oh, the Squire of Gothos. Yeah, yeah. Felicitations and...
Greetings and felicitations.
For Dan and CJ, who are two of our listeners out there, they'll know exactly what we mean when they get to the Squire of Gothos. They may already have covered it in their show, the Love, Long, and Prosper podcast.
Do you think they're fans of ours?
Yeah, they've listened to the show. They often listen to the show, actually.
Okay.
No question. So hi fans, and welcome everybody else. Thank you for listening. And we have a bunch of stuff to get done, babe.
We do have a lot. It's going to be really hard to fit it all in.
But we will do our level best to do so.
Have to, or you're going to be yelling at me again.
I never do that. I told you never to mention that again. So a few things we want to get done. We're going to start out with a very short, I guess, mini review, you might call it. Shout out to B&H Photo and Video. We'll explain what that is for those of you who don't know. Then we're going to wrap up a couple of odds and ends from last episode by reading a couple of emails that we got, one from the runner of the Spartacus Roosevelt podcast and one from our friend Steve over at Wicked Good Podcast. And then our three main reviews of the evening, starting with Starbucks. That's right, the Starbucks. We told you, we have no fear of reviewing big. Then we're going to go on to review the Billy Joel 12 Gardens, and I'm pretty excited about that because I think that'll be pretty cool. That is the new live CD that Billy Joel has just completed, and we actually saw the concert for this show. So we're going to review that album, and then we're going to finish by reviewing, in our podcast segment, the NBX podcast, and so that'll be interesting to see what we come up with there. So, shall we begin?
Yeah, so we want to do our first shout-out. Our mini review.
Holla.
Holla at ya for B&H.
Yeah.
The NBXers will like that we just did holla because that's how they started.
That's how they start everything. Yeah. In fact, I think they'd be lost without holla. It was like every third second they're like, blah, 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 holla.
Yeah. All right. So B&H, the reason we only want to do a shout out is because we don't want to be too New York central. We don't want to be like every other New Yorker and only talk about stuff that's only in New York.
Although we appreciate that listeners of ours have told us that they like that because they find it interests of New York, which is interesting. We appreciate that, but
right.
Seriously.
So we decided to do a little bit of that by doing a holler to B&H. So those of you New Yorkers or outside, if you ever find yourself in New York and you want to buy some video equipment, TVs,
VCRs, and you want to do so without using a white van that pulls up to you in the side of the road, just a word of the wise, don't get, I know it's a bargain, don't buy TVs from white vans.
Although we did have a friend that did that and there wasn't the best of outcomes. Right?
No.
Right.
Not really.
So we've heard of B&H, we've heard of their commercials, but we've never actually been to one. And then we decided to upgrade from Greg's 15-year-old's TV. If you'd like Greg's 15-year-old TV, go on to eBay.
Yeah, exactly. Where you can find it at. That's what we should do. We should totally auction, like, you know, the eBay. This is the official Upon for the Review TV. And like
eBay all our stuff.
That's right. That's right.
That we want to get rid of after we've moved.
Exactly. And it'll be good for, like, extra hits. We'll be like, why are these people famous? They say they're famous. I've never heard of them. I'm going to go right to their show and find out why the hell they're famous.
So we decided to go to B&H and Best Buy because we usually always go to Best Buy.
Right.
So we go to Best Buy. And first of all, we did the wrong thing of going to the Best Buy in Manhattan. If you ever want to go to a store, don't go to one in Manhattan. Because
right.
I think that the only merchandise that they have is stuff that they could be selling to the rich and famous.
Right.
And since we're not rich, albeit famous, but not rich...
Right.
They didn't have any.
It's like Best Buy for Donald Trump, you know, or Matthew McConaughey
exactly.
or something like that.
They didn't have
that.
Any televisions that are within our price range. Why would they? Because they're not selling to people like
right.
us. So we couldn't do our Best Buy fix, unfortunately.
We should explain why we were doing this in the first place, by the way. This is all
I don't
a result
know, I'm a little
of,
ashamed.
Well, it's reason. A result of IKEA. So everyone knows that we reviewed IKEA last week, and we set up the one unit, the one thing we got from IKEA, we got was this TV storage unit. Again, it was the first piece of new furniture we had gotten in a long time.
Yeah.
And we put it together, and then we're like, wow, Greg's 15-year-old TV won't fit in the TV center.
It was too deep.
It's too deep because the TV's huge. Like, it's old, obviously. And so we're like, all right, so
well,
we guess we should get...
huge, but the...
Well, no, but the back of it is huge, right? So what that meant was that we had to get a flat panel TV. And we were like, that's expensive.
But I hated, we went into the store.
Well, like, what else are we going to do? Put up, like, a TV table with our TV in front of it?
I just feel kind of stupid. Greg would go to the guy. He'd go to the nearest guy and say, okay, so we're looking for a TV. And the guy's like, yeah. He's like, well, see, we need to fit it into our new TV storage unit because our television doesn't fit in it. I feel like such a dork. I'll go, I guess it would fit for Manhattan. Going, oh, you know what? We have this wonderful TV storage unit, but we need a television that fits into it.
Yeah, but then the guy's like, oh, why? We're like, no, it's too old. It won't fit because it's too old, not because it's too big.
So anyway, we decided we would at least want to look into a flat screen television since we were looking into that. We might as well check out the LCD screens. Plasma was out of our league, and so we decided to do that there.
Well, let's explain, first of all, for those of you who don't know, this is called B&H Photo Video, and you can find it at bhphotovideo.com. And they're well-known in New York because they advertise all the time on sports channels and things like that, and they started out by specializing in cameras and video equipment and things like that. They're sort of like a tweeter or maybe like not a Radio Shack, but, you know, like one of those kinds of stereo superstores. But they specialized in audio and video equipment, and now they've expanded to deal with digital cameras to computers to televisions and everything else. And we'd heard their ads all the time, but, you know, we've never gone to the store itself, which is in Manhattan. So,
so pretty much we just want to say that there was... it was pretty packed, but it didn't feel packed because there were a lot of people standing around offering assistance, and they were quite knowledgeable. It was very easy for them to look up in their computer system what was available, what was within our price range. We checked out the possibilities, and then we decided what we wanted to buy. So the guy prints out a summary of what it is that we want. Then he says, follow the sign, which is this huge green sign hanging from the ceiling.
Yes.
Towards the cashier. We go to the cashier. There's 7 cashiers sitting there waiting to help us.
Yes.
5 of them are free.
Yes.
We walk through this little winding line. We go there. We pay. It's a matter of seconds.
Right.
Then she says, this will be an oversized unit. Go right behind me. We walk around right where the big, huge green sign says overweight items.
Oversized items.
Babe. Oversized. And we hand the guy our slip.
Yep.
He turns around, finds our box, picks it up.
Which has already, in the last
already
in 5 minutes, been delivered, or less than that.
Brings it to us, brings us our warranty, and we're done.
That's it. This is unbelievably efficient. It's like, you know, no wandering around the store forever, listening to, like, the Best Buy people who are like, I don't know what to do.
And that's what
they're like, do this. Here you go. Goodbye.
We were in
it was
and
amazing.
Out
it was ridiculous.
In, I think, 15 minutes.
It was unbelievable.
But after we decided and he printed out what we wanted, we were out of there in 2 minutes.
I know. I couldn't believe it. And the store was packed, by the way. It wasn't like the store was empty.
No,
I mean,
it was completely packed.
It was
2 times as many people or 3 times as many people as there was in the Best Buy.
Right. But for some reason, it felt like everyone was totally in control. You didn't feel like it was just amazing.
All right. So up in his house, we give them 9.
I would give them a 9 out of 10 for that experience. Yeah.
All right. 9 out of 10.
I was amazed. So.
So what are these emails you want to talk about?
Okay, and the emails are as follows. We actually got 2 the past week that I wanted to mention. The first is to wrap up with the IKEA story. Since we brought up IKEA, it seems appropriate. And we got an email from our friend Steve from the Wicked Good Podcast, who's actually probably going to be a guest reviewer for us in a couple of weeks, who says, hey guys, listen to the last episode. Had to disagree a little bit about the idea that the furniture is overpriced at IKEA. In fact, I think it's quite the opposite. In one of the early episodes of Wicked Good Podcast, we talked about our IKEA adventure. We were looking to outfit several rooms since we moved from our one-bedroom apartment into the house we have now, and on that trip we bought a queen-size bed without mattress, 2 nightstands, 4-piece wood patio set, which is a full-size table, 2 chairs and a bench, a coffee table, and a 3-piece sectional couch for a grand total of $1,600.
And that's what I was trying to tell you before, honey, is I don't think you completely understand the prices of furniture, because we've never done this. So I think their prices actually are fairly reasonable.
I guess that's true, and he says that, you know, at Jordan's Furniture, which is another northeastern kind of local
furniture
store,
really expensive.
You'd have a hard time finding anything that much, and it would be the same thing at Bernie and Phil's or Bob's Discount Furniture or any place that you can mention
it. You possibly could get something cheaper at Bob's.
Bob's Discount Furniture is probably cheaper, but I definitely agree that the rest of it, yeah, I guess it's just sort of my mind, you know, I see four digits in a price and I'm $1,000 and I'm like, but anyway, so he says he's happy with it and it's a good store.
One other quick thing, can you scroll up?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Do you believe he said, I wanted to make sure you didn't mention this, but he said the episode was excellent.
Well, I wasn't trying to pat us in the back, but, you know.
It's not my words, Greg. It's his.
He said it was excellent as always. All and right. Then he says it redefines his paradigm.
No, he didn't say that. Okay, anyway, so go to the second one.
Okay.
From Spartacus.
So thanks to Steve from Wicked Good Podcast. The other email that we got was from Spartacus Roosevelt, who we reviewed last week in our music podcast section. And he says, I can't tell you how much the review means to me. I think that if my show is the type of thing you would enjoy, you will enjoy the show. I'm so deep. And he especially liked the line that you had about how some of the music sounded like when you were experimenting on your synthesizer when you were 7.
Yeah.
He said, I smiled and said, she gets it. And he goes on to say that he doesn't find actually that much music on MySpace, but he uses it for a tool to contact the various bands. So that makes this even the more impressive. The fact that he gets this stuff from an indie music store, he gets stuff online from eMusic, and then he, tracking that down, has to go onto MySpace and find these artists. Yeah. As I say, I have great admiration for what this guy does, and he says he really appreciated the view. He's going to take some of our suggestions
and
advisements.
Yeah, and integrate some of it, which is nice.
And he liked it.
So thanks for the email.
And so it was good. So thanks a lot, Spartacus. We appreciate
it.
Oh, by the way, he also explained that he got it from a 70s funk game where you take the name of some classical hero, take your favorite classical name, Spartacus, and then you put a 20th century president together, and it becomes your 70s funk name. So I guess for me, it would be like Euripides Clinton or something like that. But anyway.
Okay.
So thanks a lot, Spartacus, for the email. And keep them coming, guys. We will definitely read them and contribute on the show. On to the main review sections of the day. And we want to start out here with something which is dear to Clea's heart in particular. And that is Starbucks. We are going to be reviewing the entire Starbucks company. And you can find their homepage at www.starbucks.com. And I guess you might want to explain a little bit, Han, about what it is that you find. So I'm sure those of you, I hope nobody out there doesn't know what Starbucks is. I'm afraid everybody knows what it is. I actually am afraid that they know what it is because it's like everywhere. But this is a coffee shop, basically, where you can get all kinds of cappuccinos and hot chocolates and coffees and teas and cakes and all these other kinds of things. And it's really become a phenomenon almost in every city and country that I can think of that we've been to anyway. And a lot of people have told us Starbucks is pretty much everywhere. So why don't you talk a little bit about what you're feeling about the experience of going to a Starbucks is?
Well, I mean, the reason that we're doing Starbucks today is because 35 years today, August 29th of when we're doing this podcast.
35 years ago.
Thank you, Greg. From. Starbucks opened their first location at Seattle's Pike Place Market. I, for those of you who don't know yet, I'm originally from Seattle.
Holla.
So I am familiar with that Pike Place Market store. It's still there. It still has the old in style sign out in the front. I always loved Starbucks because I felt like they had a good work ethic. Like most Seattleites, they brought a focus on the environment, focus on fair trade issues, and were about being a fiscally and environmentally responsible company. Since then, they've grown.
Given up on all that stuff. Now they oppress and use slave labor. But it's a good story when it first started.
No, they haven't changed it. But I do know that they aren't as fiscally and environmentally responsible as they could be. They are responsible for purchasing 10% of the global fair trade coffee imports. So the total amount of fair trade coffee bean imports, Starbucks purchases 10% of that.
Which is pretty staggering if you think about the numbers.
Is a large amount, but the actual percentage of fair trade coffee that makes up their total coffee bean amount is not as big as it could be. Last year, there was a vote that for the stockholders to increase that percentage, and I don't think it passed. I know I voted for it, but I don't think it passed.
So what's the percentage of it then?
I don't remember. I couldn't find that out because that's something that only stockholders would know or investors.
I thought you were a stockholder.
I know, and I just said I forgot.
Oh.
I just said.
That's something only stockholders would know and people other than Clea would remember. Let me just say, by the way, when you said stockholder, let's just think about the way we set up this episode. So we got a new thing in our TV. We need to get a new one, and we got a stockholder. Let's just be clear, okay? Clea had this stock, got this stock when she was very young. It was one of those things, you know, your dad gets you as a gift, you know, sort of as an investment for the future, right?
Ever since I started working when I was 21, I graduated from college, I started working.
Yeah.
And being someone who didn't have very many expenses, I did open it up a Roth IRA my first year of graduating from college.
It's ridiculous, by the way.
So I had a Roth IRA that I gave money to. And yes, some of it was gifts by my dad, but a lot of it was just my retirement money because I didn't have a retirement plan because I was too lowly. So I had a retirement money. So when I heard that Starbucks stock was going to split, I put all of my Roth IRA money into Starbucks stock.
Wait a minute. I don't think we're supposed to... So when I heard it was going to split...
No, it already split, honey.
From the inside. Oh, okay.
It already split.
I was going to say.
It's already split.
All right. So on you go.
So Starbucks really made famous in America the cappuccino, the latte. Before that, everything was just standard coffee.
Right.
Obviously, this is not a unique thing to Europe, but it's unique to America. Starbucks was also famous because their coffee is a very deep, deep roast. So it has a rich, rich flavor. And most people think that that means it has more caffeine, but actually the more you roast a bean, the less caffeine it has. So actually their coffee it has more flavor, but isn't as caffeinated. And so that's one of the things that really made it popular.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, they've done all sorts of other things and grown. And remember when we were at the herb farm, we met those four women that are in charge of going to other countries.
Yep.
At opening up Starbucks. And these women, now they might be deluded by capitalist, you know, economics, but they very strongly were quite proud of the fact that they were going to other countries and helping change the economy, helping maybe influence social paradigms. Like one of them was going to be going to India, and she was hopeful that she was going to influence society. There would be societal influences and implications to women becoming business owners and being able to be more fiscally independent. So the company does try to carry such practices as well and goals.
But the Starbucks has been obviously extraordinarily successful. Those of you who sort of know the common joke about how Starbucks is around every corner, it's actually true.
Yep.
As of July 2nd of this year, there were 11,784 Starbucks locations.
In New York City, it really is like that Shrek.
It is like
Shrek
every corner. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Where, you know, the big cookie guy is running down the street and he goes towards the one Starbucks and everyone runs streaking out of that Starbucks, runs across the street to the other Starbucks. It really is that way
it is
in New York City.
Yeah, it really totally
Not
is.
Not in other areas of Northeast, though. Remember, when you go to Connecticut or Massachusetts, everything is Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, no, there's some Starbucks there, but you know, we have a little bit of that's because we got a little bit of blue collar pride up in Connecticut, right, down in the his house.
So anyway, you can go to Starbucks.com if you want to find
Starbucks
out where their stores are, where their locations. You can purchase online. You can also purchase at stores. They're in a lot of stores now. They also have their own podcast, Greg. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that, actually.
They have their own podcast, and they also have little fun things where you can go to see what kind of coffee would be your best matched, depending on what kind of taste you have.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I should admit now, do not drink coffee.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I did actually, born and raised Seattleite, and don't drink coffee. But I do love chai lattes. When chai lattes came out, I was so excited because I could finally order a latte, which I could never do growing up. Just so you know, when you want to go to Starbucks, they have a certain way of ordering. And the first way you're supposed to order, you're supposed to say what size you want. Do you want a tall, grande, or venti? Then you say what kind of milk you want. You want non-fat or skim? You want low-fat, or you want whole milk? Then you say all of the little additions or specifications that you want to make. And then you say what kind of coffee or tea you want. So what I order is a venti skim, no water chai latte.
Which means they bring you a club and beat you over the head with it, I think.
No, that means that I want a size venti, I want it skim milk,
okay.
I want no water added to the tea,
right,
and a chai.
Yeah, see, I think it's part of the language that makes this thing work as well, is that, you know, you feel like you're in this sort of exclusive club when you're ordering, as far as I could tell.
Not only that, I've met a lot of people that work there, and they love it.
Yeah.
They love their job.
They do,
that's
true.
People that are baristas for their whole life.
And we know, and didn't one of the things, the 1 Minute How To podcast actually has a thing on how to do Starbucks and stuff like that.
Yeah, so you can go back to How To if you want and listen. There is a Starbucks one, but
I is not a long-term, you know, fan of this thing. I think Starbucks is fine. I don't know that I'm, you know, I think that their prices are not good. And I don't, you know, and that I think I'm very confident.
They're very high.
Their prices are high. And the amounts that they give you for the prices are a little bit silly. But, you know, again, it's kind of pleasant. It's very much kind of in the NPR type of crowd. You know, you would expect to see walk in. They've normally got Wi-Fi access. And it's kind of your, you know,
and
sort
if
of
you're ever
blue state living,
those tourists,
you know,
who are
left-leaning
listening,
types,
those potential,
you know,
tourists, if you are in New York City and you need a public bathroom, you go to a Starbucks.
Right.
All Starbucks have free bathrooms to the public. You don't have to purchase something. Last bit of advice is if you order Starbucks and you don't like it, tell them you don't like it.
The way you do this, it's a very special ritual. You go up and say, Venti Grandi non-water in your lapo, and then you throw it right at them. That's basically the way you do it.
Anyway, you don't pay $4 or $5 for a drink to not like it. So you go up and you tell them what you don't like about it, and they fix it.
Right.
With a smile on their face.
Yeah, or
which
or
is
else.
Unique in America.
Well, so I don't know. I'm not quite as enamored with it as Clea is, but I think that they're...
I'm not saying I'm enamored. I'm just trying to give the full story.
Okay, I see. Well, so what do you want to do for rating?
I want to give a 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah, their prices are ridiculous.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's what I was thinking was a 6.
Great.
Okay. How about that?
That was it.
No controversy.
All right.
Okay. So a 6 out of 10 for Starbucks. Okay, next on the docket for tonight is the Billy Joel 12 Gardens album, and we should quickly set the scene here as to why this is important.
You mean you want to frame it, Greg?
Here's the deal with this. I am a huge, long-term Billy Joel fan. People know that I have my own band. You know, one of my influences is Billy Joel, but I don't think you'd ever hear it if you listen to our band. But I've liked Billy Joel for years and years. When I was 7 or 8, I started to like his music and have liked it ever since.
So the late 70s?
Late 70s. And I've been to a number of his concerts. I've got a lot of his albums, you know, whatever. So I had a chance with Clea to go see him perform at Madison Square Garden earlier this year. He did 12 shows in a row at Madison Square Garden, all of which were sold out. And this marked the first time in history that anybody at Madison Square Garden, which is known as the, quote, the world's most famous arena, that's what they call themselves,
pat themselves
in the back a little bit. But anyway, it was the first time in the history of the Garden that any act, you know, concert or otherwise, had sold out for 12 consecutive times. And so while we were there, we went to the last show, actually, the final show.
They retired the
number 12, you know, they raised it to the rafters, which was easy since they don't have a lot of Knicks banners to get in the way up there. Sorry, little shot. So they raised the thing to the roof, and then he did like a 3.5 hour show, and it was unbelievable. Keep in mind that Billy Joel now is in his late 50s, I think,
right,
and has been doing, you know, has been playing for 30, 40 years, I guess. And this is a guy who, after 3 hours of singing, his voice sounded just about what it sounded like when he had begun. And it sounded to me even better than when we had seen him with Elton John a few years before. And I asked someone in the audience about that, and they said, well, that's what happens when you get through rehab. So yeah. Billy Joel got
sober
through
during these shows.
He got through rehab, and apparently he's doing very well, and it really showed in the show. It was amazing.
He had a lot of energy.
And so, great performance, great concert. And so this is the actual compilation of those performances. It's called Billy Joel 12 Gardens. And you can find information about him at www.billyjoel.com. That will give you the information about what is available and where and all that kind of stuff.
So mainly we wanted to tell you about this CD because, one, we were there and it was a great show. Two, because it's a great live album to get if you are a Billy Joel fan or if you're interested in hearing Billy Joel live.
Yep.
Not a big fan, but you'd like to at least hear some of his stuff. Mainly because he did a lot of songs live that he's never done before, at least that we've never seen, and we've been to a few of his concerts.
Right.
And so these are songs that he rarely does live. And so they're in there. And it seems like every single one, like that he did Greg's favorite song that he never does in concert.
Which is called Summer Highland Falls. For
he
those
did my
Billy
favorite
Joel
song, which he's never done live in
That's
concert.
Called The Downeaster Alexa.
So he did a lot of the songs that normally he doesn't do, mainly because they don't necessarily have that sound that is usually as popular, or they weren't like played over and over and over and over again on the radio.
Right.
So it's really a good live album to get.
And here's the thing, like, you know, most people who are not familiar with Billy Joel but know something about popular music in America will have heard of, you know, they'll have heard of Piano Man Man, which is probably his most famous. They'll have heard of things like Big Shot, probably.
I didn't start the fire.
We didn't start the fire. They'll probably have heard of Only the Good Die Young. You know, right. Some of those sort of standards. Famous radio hits, right? But on this particular, he did a lot of different songs, and a lot of, even on this album, were things that he didn't do at our particular show. So he did The Great Wall of China, which is off of the River of Dreams album. Great Wall of China is a great song. He never does it. He did Miami 2017, I've Seen the Lights Go Out on Broadway. Another great song that he very seldom does. He does Laura, which is off of The Nylon Curtain. That's a great song. And he also did some standard ones. He did Allentown. He did Goodnight Saigon. He did stuff like that. But the point is that he got a lot of things in there, and you hear a lot of those things on here as well. Does, you know, Zanzibar. He doesn't usually do that much as well. The reason that this is important is one of the things I always liked about Billy Joel is his range. I always thought that Billy Joel, as a songwriter, I always thought Billy Joel was able to produce an incredible variety of work, and it wasn't just a matter of the hip-hoppy, you know, dancey type of thing. He was able to do something that was more unusual, and you get a lot of that.
Right. So I want to say my only critique of this is that listening, I mean, we were there, and live he sounded awesome.
I agree.
Absolutely awesome. I mean, blew me away. He was doing the range of his voice that he didn't do the last two times we heard him.
Yep.
Which again, you know, has to be probably because he's taking care of himself. However, when we were listening to the CD, it didn't sound as good. Now, I don't know if that's because, you know, you're listening to all of the little, you know, the engineering was such that you could actually hear
coming
his
out of the
voice
mixing board,
without
right,
all
right.
of the other stuff. So, you know, there is that. You might hear him not being as full in sound. He might be a little more choppy because he can't sustain the note. But still, he does all of the songs with a lot of feeling, and he does all of them creatively. They don't just sound like they came out of the radio.
Which is a big problem. It's a good point that Clea brings up, because in a lot of cases you'll hear there's no point to live albums where it sounds exactly the same as if you just bought the regular
right.
album. You know, he actually plays with it and changes the variety. In fact, the show that we saw, he had this roadie of his, remember this,
right.
who came out and did
is that on there?
No, it's not on there.
Oh, that's
but
too
he
bad.
Came out and did AC/DC's Highway to Hell. On a highway to hell. It was hilarious.
And he actually sounded good.
Yeah, he sounded like
there's
him. I know.
Big
I know.
Guy
well, good is a relative term. He sounded like the lead singer of AC/DC, so that doesn't sound good. But yeah, but it was cool. No, I was really into it. And Clea's right. He doesn't sound as good. But remember, this is a compilation of all 12 concerts,
that's
too.
Because
the night that we saw, remember they dropped balloons?
Yeah.
And so everybody was popping the balloons for like an hour. And it got so bad that Billy Joel had to start playing da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So everyone would pop the balloon at pop goes the weasel so he could get some of the balloons popped. Because you could imagine the engineer was like, oh, God, that's going to sound terrible. So.
Did you say that it was a two-disc set, Greg?
It is. I did not. It is a two-disc set. Yeah, it's a lot of music, by the way. How many songs is it? I think it's... there's 15 songs and there's two bonus tracks that aren't listed here, actually, that you hear at the end of them.
Do you see us?
No, that's because we're way back there. We're somewhere.
Too bad.
There. Yeah, that's right. When I got it, I think it was like $18. And in today's modern CD market, for a two CD set for $18, that's pretty good. Of course, we've had discussions. The album cost overall is ridiculous, but that's not his fault. So I'm very high on this album. I know that I'm a fan of his already, but I think for a live album, even if you weren't originally a Billy Joel fan, it would be worth getting just so you could get a sense of what songs he can do that aren't the standard Piano Man, you know, everybody knows
them.
And
you might find
them.
Some songs that you really like that you hadn't heard and just love. Like my favorite song of his, I could play it and listen to it over and over and over
Down
and
East
over
Alexa.
Again.
But check out Miami 2017. Good song. So I'm going to give this, I know that we gave B&H a 9, but I've got to do the same thing for this. I think this is a 9 out of 10 for the amount of songs on the album, for the space of the album, how well produced it is. I think it's a 9 out of 10.
It's fine with me. He deserves it.
Okay. 9 out of 10 for my man, Billy Joel.
All right.
All right. Last thing on the docket for tonight is the NBX podcast.
You're listening to The Fix on NBX.com, home of the World Sports Betting Championship.
1989 World Series MVP pitcher Dave Stewart.
I think he's going to be swinging, you know, swinging out of his ass. I thought I, you know, held down the signal to throw a fastball. I said, you did, goddammit, but I'm the boss out here, and I'm throwing what the hell I want to throw. This is a white guy that's got braids in his hair. I know we're not talking badly about anybody, but shoot. I'm going to go over here to the high school and grab somebody, and they'll beat the Royals.
Joe McDonald, who is an absolute stud sports radio guru down in L.A.
Your job terrible defensive player. Can't play defense. He could. You could have God coaching him, and he can't play defense. I'm a reverse racist, and you know that. They win one game, honestly. I think they should call this season a success.
Joe Ganniscoli, a.k.a. Vito from The Sopranos.
Every time I had to pay my bookie, after I gave him his money, I always said to spend it on medicine. You know, it's a vicious cycle. So I was like, you know, all books should die.
Cool.
This was a podcast which was submitted to us for review. I guess the way that I'll explain it, since I'm framing it here, as Clea says, it's an NBX fantasy sports book is the way they describe the page. You can find this, by the way, at www.nbx.com. And essentially what this page is a sports betting site. It's a place where you're able to go and learn about the odds on a given game, where you're able to find out about, you know, fantasy sports play. It's sort of an overall sports site that is geared towards sports betting. And they have several podcasts that are a result of this. In fact, I think they run either three or four separate podcasts on the site. And I'll just say, first of all, by the way, that the site is slick. I mean, in fact, so slick that it's almost maybe a little bit overwhelming. They have, you know, ads appropriately placed. It's a very lively website. They have, Cleo is a huge fan of the NBX Wise Girl, where they show pinup pictures of women.
She's ugly and too skinny and doesn't have big enough hips or chest.
That. So, never mind.
She's really ugly. Yeah, do they have prettier ones?
Well, come on, man. It's it's the podcast girls, okay. You know? Just you wait. They'll mature. The podcasting community is getting better.
So how long has this been around? Because you said this has quite a following.
In fact, they have a lot of famous athletes that have been a part of it. They have Dave Stewart, who's a former World Series MVP, a pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. He does a show called Throwing the Heat, a podcast for them. They have a former Kevin Gogan, a former NFL player who's on it with them. I don't know exactly how long they've been around, but they clearly knew what they were doing when they started. I mean, they've got a lot of activity that's going on the site all the time.
Right, and I don't know if you were saying this, the guest stars that they have that they interview are legitimate people.
Right, head coaches of college football teams,
you know,
that baseball pitcher that I mentioned before, the football player that they have as regular shows, absolutely, and they cover a lot of different things, and so that's pretty good.
And I liked a lot of the questions that they asked. Their interview questions. I thought it was a little silly, the one episode we heard where the guy kept saying, okay, so last question. Okay, so
that was
last question.
That was the throw in the heat one, yeah.
He did that like five times, but I understand why he did it. But he was asking like all the questions that I wanted to ask, and he was asking all the questions that I would have found interesting. So I felt that the interview was handled really well.
Yep, and that was the case in both of the... We listened to, I think, three shows. We listened to the Throwing Heat, Trainwreck, which is the football show, and then we listened to the Larry Brown show. I think each one of these is released weekly, so they've got three or four shows that are going on during the week. Yeah, very conversational style.
Very conversational.
And by the way, not particularly, this is not work safe. I mean, this is stuff that's sort of edgy adult stuff.
They swear.
If you're going into it, this is basically like what you would expect if you went into a locker, maybe not quite that strong, but if you went to a bar and you heard a bunch of guys talking sports, this would be that kind of thing. So don't go into it expecting, you know, politically enlightened discourse. You're not going to get it, but you are going to get interesting, intriguing sports talk, and it'd be sort of interesting to compare this, because I think the Fan 2 girls that we reviewed a couple of weeks ago,
right,
they are, I would say, they're work safe, and they're not in the same kind of mold. This one is very much kind of a guys for guys show. That was the one thing I would say that I had a problem with about it, because it's very professionally produced, and I know the target audience. It's 18 to 35, you know, or maybe I guess a little bit older, 18 to 45-year-old males who are going to spend money. I understand that. But, you know, it would be nice to see in a medium that's not limited by radio work, like podcasting is, and I know that the podcast is a way to enhance their website, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It would be nice for them to be able to do some work that involved maybe reaching out to women a little bit and not totally just being like, yeah, we don't really care at all about women. I mean, there are women, like the Fan 2 girls, like many other people, who like sports. And I would love to see them...
I would say also not just women. I would just say people that don't necessarily have to make homosexual remarks and
jokes
and
about
swear.
Homosexuals and things like
you
that.
You know, I mean, because I didn't... But I want to posit, I don't think that they were as bad as we've heard other guys.
No, and I don't think it's not being done to be offensive. It's just that it's sort of part of the talk. And that's fine. It's just that...
Supposedly being true to themselves.
I mean, that's fine, but it's not that they said we don't want to have women listen to us. I'm sure they have female listeners. I don't know. I just felt that it was, to me, as a guy listening to it, it was very much like only guys would listen to this, pretty much. There are not going to be a lot of women who are not interested in sports previously who are going to be drawn into this. If you like sports, this is what you want. If you don't like sports, this isn't going to bring you into it. Whereas the Fan 2 Girl show, I think, might bring you into it if you didn't like sports before. So
also, they weren't as versatile as the Fan 2 Girls. Mm-hmm. I think that they didn't do the full breadth.
They focus on sports betting. That's part of the reason. So they focus on things where you can bet.
They did do much more breadth than a lot of other ones. They did talk about Tiger. They did say that he's the only golfer they care about, but they at least did bring him up. They did talk about Agassi.
Yep.
So they're not just basketball, football, you know, and baseball.
Right. And to their credit, by the way, this show, although it's, you know, obviously they're part of the NBX site, none of their shows were over-the-top annoying with advertising their own show. And I give them a lot of credit for that, because I was thinking it was going to be one of those things where it's like 5 seconds of interview. Remember, this 5 seconds brought to you, but it wasn't like that. No. They mentioned at the beginning, they mentioned at the end, and that was it. It was not intrusive at all. So I give them a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, it was great. And the whole podcast, I felt it didn't have any filler. I felt it was all good stuff.
Yep, all good stuff. Very well edited, very well produced in audio form. And I get, yeah, I just, it's a very good show in general. I guess my only thing is I think they could stretch themselves a little bit to be able to
and
reach out to other audiences.
Their audience,
and
you know, so not just give their audience of what they think it wants of just being, oh, I'm drunk today and
exactly.
Holla back y'all and the F-bomb and, oh, another gay joke.
And it should be said, there is this thing called, they have a video cast, which is done by this woman named Lauren, who does these rant, you know, it's called the NBX Sports Rant, and it's this woman ranting about sports. So I understand they're not trying to exclude women. It's just that the format of the show, very much 18 to 45 year old male. Okay.
It's putting the female in particular role.
Yeah. So I'm just pointing that out. But having said that, they want to achieve being a really good sports betting site. I think they do that.
I think they do that.
What do you think?
I'm thinking 8.
Yeah, that would be what I would say. I would have said probably a 7 or an 8, but an 8 because the quality
could
is good.
Navigated a little bit easier, and I do think that they could expand their depth and their breadth a little bit.
Yep.
But I think they obviously have a really fantastic product.
Yep, yeah, they've done a very good job of sort of branding it, and I think, and these guys are going places. They've been featured on ESPN, they've been featured a lot of different places. So if you're interested in sports, and if you're interested in fantasy sports, or if you're interested in sports betting, for recreational reasons only, of course, you should definitely come check them out. I think they're a good show. So I agree with that. We would give the NBX show an 8 out of 10.
Cool.
Well, I think that is going to wrap it up for us today. Again, please keep those comments coming. Keep those review requests coming. Keep those emails coming. All that wonderful stuff that you guys know how to do. And we will be at you with Lucky Number episode number 13.
Starting
next week in the middle of my school year. My school year starts next week.
The middle of your school year? You mean the first week of your school
year? It'll feel like the middle, 1 week in.
All the rest of us have been working 40 plus hours a week for the last 3 months.
Back to reality. Yeah. But we'll see you guys next week. Thanks a lot. Upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
See you next week.
The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.